last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, how many of you are looking at your diet for the new year? And not just what it is you're eating, but what you might add to what you're eating. Supplements, be it vitamins, energy boosters, stress relievers, sleeping aids. These are all the things that people are talking about, particularly in the social media era. So we have two people to talk to us about this. Dr. Ilona Duffy, who of course is a GP based out of Monaghan, who you know well on the programme, and also Sarah Keogh, who you've also met many times, registered dietitian, founder of Eat Well. Thank you both very much for joining us. Sarah, if I can start with you, do you recommend to people that they should be looking to add things to their food on the basis that they may not be getting enough of what they need from their food?
Well, I would definitely recommend supplements as part of my work. And I think the one that absolutely everybody needs, especially at this time of year, is vitamin D. That we just don't get enough sunshine most of the time in Ireland, but particularly in the winter from October to March, the sun that hits Ireland is too weak for us to make any vitamin D. And there's a recommendation that everybody, adults, children, should be taking vitamin D right now. So for adults, about 15 micrograms a day, less for children, but you can check out the HSE guidelines online about that. But that's one I would definitely recommend for absolutely everybody.
Okay, any other vitamins that you would suggest?
Depends on what's going on. I always find that fish oils are really, really important because a lot of people don't eat oily fish, and we really do need the EPA and DHA, which are those key omega-3s. Now, if you're eating your oily fish once or twice a week, you don't also need to spend money on supplements, but it's one I would definitely use a good bit. And a general multivitamin can be good. Like what we hear is that you can get everything from a healthy, balanced diet. The reality is you want to be eating spectacularly well to get absolutely everything. Now, some people do hit it, but there's really good evidence that particularly for older people over 60, that if they're taking it, just a general multivitamin, not something terribly expensive, but just giving you a bit of everything, it definitely helps reduce cognitive decline as they get older. And I think unless you're eating really well, you know, a little bit of a top up is no harm. With something like a supermarket multivitamin, you don't need to spend a fortune on it.
And what about vitamin B12?
That's going to be a really important one. But with vitamin B12, most people do actually get enough. So if you're going to get vitamin B12 in sort of animal foods, so you're going to find it in things like milk and yogurt, you're going to get it in eggs and cheese and fish. In Ireland, we're quite big meat eaters, we're dairy eaters. A lot of us are getting our B12. If you're low in B12, the people at risk are typically someone who's on a very plant-based diet because they might not be eating the animal food, so they definitely need a B12 supplement. But what I would find often if someone is low in vitamin B12, diet can be in there, but it's usually something else. It's usually a sign of celiac disease or other sort of malabsorption with that.
Okay, Dr. Ilona Duffy, what do you think about adding vitamins to whatever it is you're getting from your food?
Well, I completely agree about the vitamin D, and definitely it's something that we would be encouraging all our patients over the winter months. So I suppose the 6 months to have that boost, and probably you're going to need it in the form of a tablet or a spray under the tongue. And for those who have darker skins, they need to be on it all the time because they're not absorbing vitamin D as easily as those with paler skin. So really those patients, we would be encouraging to take it all year round. With regards to other vitamins and nutrients and things that people are buying over the counter, I suppose we see a lot of people taking them. We know that there's a lot of evidence that it is younger people who tend to be buying these. And some of that is based on what they're seeing on social media, what they're reading, what they're watching. And they're kind of believing that this is going to help with their health and their general lifestyle if they take these supplements. Older people don't tend to take them as much. And again, I suppose I'd probably be kind of saying that any data that we have would suggest that just taking them without a need to take them. So if you have an underlying health condition, we may be recommending that you're on certain vitamins, that you're taking certain supplements. But generally speaking, to be taking them just for the sake of taking them, we would advise against.
Okay, let's talk about energy boosters. And in particular, one that I think is becoming increasingly popular with people who like working out with weights in the gym is creatine. And people are saying as well that it's really good as well for your mood, for clearing brain fog, for giving you a bit of an energy surge, as well as helping you to develop muscle. What do you think of the idea of creatine, and for what ages?
again, something that we see, especially with young men who are attending gyms. And again, we would have concerns about it because we are seeing patients who are overdosing on it, taking too much of it, and that is having an impact on their kidneys, so affecting their kidney function and creating health problems. So instead of helping them, it's actually doing the opposite. So again, it goes back to, you know, who's marketing these and why, you know, who's telling you you should take it? And I think that's the problem. People are often getting advice from the wrong person. So getting advice from a nutritionist or a dietitian, that's excellent. You're going to get proper evidence-based advice. But if you're going to a gym, perhaps where it's just, it's being sold, and, you know, we know that there's a huge value to all of these kind of supplements, and big companies like Nestle and everything make billions out of them every year, then you have to wonder, are you just taking this because you've been told to take it, not because you need it?
Okay, what do you think of creatine, Sarah?
Well, I have to say, I agree with Ione saying in that people can overdo it. And particularly in Ireland, we have this, you know, if one is good, 10 must be better. But with too much creatine is definitely a problem. It's a really interesting supplement in that it helps to kind of recycle energy through the cells. So it doesn't actually build muscle. What it does is it gives a little more energy and allows you maybe to lift a healthier or a heavier weight, or allows you to exercise for a little bit longer. And that's where you see the muscle benefits. There's some interesting research around potential benefits in the brain, but we're still early days with that. I'd like to see a little bit more with it. But I agree, one of the things we've got to watch, and what I'd see a huge amount, is people coming into me with bags of supplements of all kinds of things, of individual amino acids and all kinds, you know. And very often when I'd have someone come in with a bag of stuff, I would pick out maybe two or three that they could keep taking, and they could really put the other 10 or 15 away. Because like that, sometimes people read something online, they're maybe not feeling well, they're trying everything, and sometimes they're just overdoing it. And it is cheaper to go and see a registered dietitian and have a session with them and get checked out rather than spending a fortune on supplements. And often if you're not feeling well, you know, it could be other aspects of your diet, or it could be other. I mean, very often as a dietitian, I'm sending people back to their GP and go, do you know what? I don't think this is diet. It needs, you know, probably need a little bit more checkout.
Okay, but what about things like glucose tablets and caffeine tablets, particularly popular, I think, among younger people and those maybe cramming for exams?
Well, if you look at something like caffeine, we do know from sort of a sports point of view that it does give you a little bit more of a support in terms of energy. Now, it's, for want of a better word, it's kind of false energy as such. It just gives you a little bit of lift. So we do know in studies around, if you're going for a workout or something like that, if you have something with a little bit of caffeine, which includes a cup of coffee, you know, you're a little more energy to actually go and do that. So it can be helpful for those things. And it does help in terms of if you are trying to study. Now, there's a point where you do actually need to sleep. It'll only take you so far. You can't just live on the caffeine. The glucose, it's just taking sugar. So we all know that if we are feeling tired, particularly if you're trying to do something like studying, that little bit of sugar is going to help give you a bit of a boost. But again, you're looking at trying to have a balanced diet as well, because they're just a little bit on top of actually having a good solid foundation in proper food. And, you know, if you're starting these things close to an exam, it's nearly too late to do that. So starting early with more balanced food.
Ilona, Sarah just mentioned sleep there, and quite a few people have been saying to me recently that they're taking magnesium supplements to help with their sleep. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, magnesium can help in lots of things. It can help in palpitations, and probably we're seeing more low magnesium than before. Some of that related to people being on stomach tablets long term and not getting the absorption there. So some people will say, and there's a low base of evidence to support that it may help. And I think, you know, if you find it helps, great, go with it. But again, you've got to look at the other things. And I think caffeine is a huge problem. I mean, we mentioned it there, caffeine, taking it, people taking it to give that bit of a boost. Really, you shouldn't be needing to take caffeine for a boost. You shouldn't be needing it to give you that boost. I mean, the big problem is that people actually get a buzz from the caffeine, and we're seeing lots of people arriving in with high blood pressure, with palpitations, and a lot of it is caffeine related. It's related to the coffee they're taking, the high caffeinated drinks, and again, remembering the carbonated drinks, many of them will have caffeine in them, but then there will be those energy drinks that not only have the high sugar content in them, but also have the caffeine. So again, people actually can get a wee bit of a buzz with it and nearly become addicted to it. And the problem is then stopping it. You have to wean yourself off them. So if people come to us and we're kind of talking about how much caffeine, coffee, tea, and the fizzy drinks, we actually tell them to stop them slowly, because if they cut them immediately, they'll actually go into withdrawal, which just shows that, you know, these aren't good things to be taking. They shouldn't be part of your kind of your daily living to be able to help you manage. I mean, we all like a cup of coffee, and yes, it can be appropriate, especially if you're going on a long drive, you're feeling sleepy, you know, we'll say have something to wake you up. But, and maybe maybe around the exam time, fair enough if you're feeling that little bit fatigued and perhaps up later hours, but really it shouldn't become something that you're using to medicate yourself.
And Sarah, what about products like Lion's Mane, and I may not pronounce this one correctly, ashwagandha? These seem to be very popular as well, sort of alternative products.
I mean, and there's loads of these, and we're seeing kind of the sort of people looking at maybe sort of herbal preparations or all of these kind of things. And again, what you will see when you look at the research in nutrition for a lot of these products, you're looking at very small studies with low numbers of people and small differences with it. So what you're looking at, first of all, are they safe? So in Europe, we've actually really good regulation around food supplements in terms of safety, but are they actually effective? And what you really need to look at is, what does the label actually say? Because if something isn't very clearly saying, you know, for example, Lion's Mane does X, then it means that they haven't been approved for a claim by that. And the European Food Safety Authority really checks what you're allowed to say about different supplements and vitamins. And they have a very strict law around, you can't claim that something boosts your energy unless it actually does. So I'd read labels really, really carefully, you know, around what they actually say. So again, there's no harm in taking them, but there's a lot more research needed for the effects that I think people expect that they have, or what they might have seen on social media, which isn't regulated, as we know, and anything can be said, and people can, you know, I definitely see people saying, well, I'm taking this because I heard it did amazing things, and you're going, well, did it? And they're going, well, no. So, you know, I'd look into it before I spent a lot of money on all of these different products.
Ilona, we know antibiotics are prescribed for certain illnesses, but what about purchasing prebiotics and probiotics and using them?
Yes, well, probiotics are something definitely we're probably recommending a little bit more. We have a better understanding of gut flora, so the bacteria, the normal bacteria that are in your bowel that can be upset after illness or can be upset after you've had an antibiotic. So as well as maybe getting rid of, you take an antibiotic to get rid of an infection, a chest infection, but that can upset more some people more than others and their gut flora, and then they start getting irritable bowel type symptoms or perhaps even diarrhea. So definitely the probiotics can help in those cases and can help with some bacterial overgrowth. So there can be roles for those. But again, where are you getting these things from? And I think that's another important thing with regards to all of these supplements. If you're buying them and you know you're buying them perhaps in a pharmacy or somewhere that you actually know what's in them. But if you're buying these things online because you're seeing, you know, an influencer somewhere else in another country and perhaps you're saying, well, I can get it cheaper on this website, you've no idea what you're getting. And it's similar to all medications that you might be buying online, there may be nothing in it or there may be something dangerous in it.
Okay, Sarah, what about hair supplements?
So the hair is a really interesting one because it does rely on very good nutrition to grow. And definitely over the years, I've had people in the clinic because they have issues with hair. Now, very often years ago, protein was the big issue. But you will see, I mean, what I would say around a lot of hair supplements, nutrients like iron are very important for hair growth. And then nutrients like zinc and selenium are also important. So again, if you're not eating a terribly well-balanced diet, you can have issues with hair. But hair is so affected by so many other things. It can be the products that you're using. It can be stress. It can be lack of sleep. Again, things like celiac disease can be an issue. Like, there's plenty of other things with that. So again, I'd be checking in with the GP first. And then if you were thinking about doing something with hair, I'd actually go and see a dietitian and check your whole diet. Because, you know, I've seen people with hair loss because they're eating a diet that's too low in fat, for example. Like, you actually need a certain amount of fat in your diet for your hair to grow healthily. You know, and so they have a place and it depends on what they are. But if I was looking at hair supplements, if someone was concerned on that, you're looking at things like iron, zinc and selenium as really key nutrients for that. But in the context of checking out other parts of the diet first.
Yeah. And what about collagen? Because a lot of people say that helps hair health and also nail and skin conditions.
So collagen is a really interesting one because the studies are very, very mixed. That some of them do show benefits for skin and hair in particular, and then other studies don't see any difference. And there was an interesting review there earlier this year where they separated out studies that had an association with a company selling the collagen and ones that didn't. And when they took them out, there didn't seem to be as big a difference with it. So again, we're looking at small studies. They're very, very mixed. And I think it's a very expensive supplement for what it is. I wouldn't be able to call it at this stage. I'd like to see a good bit more research on that, particularly for the price of the collagen supplements, that what people are paying for them. I'd love to see much more solid research on them.
Okay. And one very quick final one to you, Dr. Ilona Duffy. What about iron supplements? Could these be a bit dangerous, particularly when you have things like hemochromatosis, often undiagnosed in the Irish population?
Yes, we know that hemochromatosis is very, very strongly positive here in Ireland. And if you're taking it, it will add to that excess iron in your body and create difficulties and problems for you. So I think before taking anything like that, it is worth always checking in with your GP, having bloods. We're definitely seeing more and more people with kind of low iron, low B12, a lot of it diet related, but a lot of it can be related to other things, as mentioned by Sarah, celiac disease, which again, we have high rates of in Ireland. So I think always checking in, it's easy to get bloods done. We can decide then the low iron, really important, as Sarah said, for hair. If your ferritin's under 100, we want it over the 100. And even doing that one thing alone, boosting up your iron, if it's low, can really improve everything from fatigue, muscle pains, muscle aches, and your hair quality. So again, checking in and knowing what you're taking and why you're taking it.
Dr. Ilona Duffy and Sarah Kyo from Eat Well, thank you both so much for being with us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.